Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. And welcome to episode 9 of season 2 here on Weekend Warriors Hockey. Remember, if you have any show topic ideas or any feedback, please email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me today are the Chief Executive Warrior Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach Rob Boyle. Rick and Rob, how are you guys doing today?
Very good. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Feeling pretty good. Looking forward to this episode.
Excellent. Yeah. So thank you for that segue there. Looking forward to this episode. This episode, we're looking to talk a little bit about a listener question we got. So like we did say before on the air, we will answer these questions. So if you do have them, please shoot them over to us. So this one comes from Ryan McGee. And just kind of bear with us. I'm going to read his question exactly as he sent it to us and kind of get a little context in there maybe. So he starts it out by saying, this may be kind of an unusual question. Do you guys do a session on ways to stay safe, avoiding injury while playing hockey, or intersperse suggestions for safety during sessions? I guess the reason why I asked this is a couple of months ago, I was going in on a breakaway. Within the first minute or so of a game, I shot the puck and somehow wiped out and went into the inboards fast and in a scary way. Similar to the way David Pastrnak went into the boards last night during the Bruins-Capitals game. I think I have some PTSD or something because of it, because I've been less aggressive during my play since it happened. Anyway, just thought, I've been playing for 16 years and nothing like this has ever happened before. I do think that beer league hockey is generally safe, but nevertheless, I just thought I would ask. So for a little bit of context, he talks about similar to something that happened to David Pastrnak. That was back in May. On May 20th in a playoff game. And he was going in on a breakaway and he had a back checker, Evgeny Kuznetsov, kind of got a stick into his body before TJ Oshie kind of got another one in on his hands a little bit before he shot. And then he fell into the boards and went pretty hard, almost like face first, shoulder first into the boards. So that's kind of what he's talking about. So, you know, with that, I really just want to turn it over to Rob and Rick and kind of see if they have any thoughts on, you know, just ways to, when you have either scary things or injuries or you're coming back from something, kind of how do you mentally get over that?
Well, first and foremost, you don't want to play tentative. I mean, it can be a scary thing. And there are things that you can do to protect yourself, especially if you're going in head first. One first thing is to make sure you keep your head up. If you're going to go into the boards head first, go face first. USA Hockey has a program called Heads Up, Don't Duck. And something we try to teach kids at a very young level. If you're ever in that situation, you want to go in, you want to go head first, because the way your spine goes, it's actually curved. It's not straight there. So you want to go up. So you're going to have a little more flexion. You don't want to be too stiff, because if you go at the top of your head, you get compress your spine, those top cervical spine, and maybe do some damage, break a bone or even damage your spinal cord. And it's happened. I think everybody knows and is aware of the Travis Watt situation, Boston University a few years back. Unfortunately, I think he just recently passed it too, I believe, fortunately. But so that's one thing, you know, and I think just, you know, coming back from an injury like that or something that happened to you like that, if you start to play tentative, I think you actually open yourself up to more injury because you're afraid to do something. And, you know, and I'll say it, I mean, anytime you take to the ice, there is an inherent risk from catching an edge and just twisting your ankle, breaking your leg. In fact, we had it happen at camp years ago. It was early on, but we had a woman who was playing and it was our final scrimmage. It's when we used to scrimmage at the end of camp. We don't do that anymore, but we're just in a scrimmage. We had about 9 minutes to go, if I recall, and no one was near this woman. She just caught an edge. And Lorraine, if you're listening, we still love you. And no one was near. She just caught an edge and she broke her leg. And, you know, so there is an inherent risk every time you step on the ice. But I think if you start to play tentative and do those things or, you know, maybe not with that same intensity, whatever level that might be or what level you're playing at, I think you just open yourself up to more injury. You can't play afraid. You know, it is a scary thing. There's no question it's a scary thing. No one likes going into the boards full speed. The other thing I would say, if you can, get your body turned, get your toes turned away. If you're still you know, even if you're playing, you don't get knocked down, and you're just playing the game, and you know, even if you get pushed from behind a little bit, or you know, you feel like you're going to get pushed from behind, try to get your skates parallel to the boards and not have your toes face the boards. So, I mean, those are just two little things. I mean, I know we try to teach kids that. You know, I do hitting clinics in the past. We try to, it's not just the art of hitting, but being able to take a hit as well. At the, you know, when you're allowed to play contact, and we try to tell kids, don't go in chest facing the boards, try to get your skates turned and get your shoulder to the board so that if someone does come in and give you a hit, you're not going to go face first or head first into the boards. But if you are sliding in the boards and you get taken down, you know, obviously try to get your hands forward, but keep your head up. Head up, don't duck, but try to get your hands forward to kind of slow you a little bit. Maybe take it in the shoulder too if you can get your body turned. But again, and then don't play hesitant. I just think it's it can be just as dangerous as sliding in or falling or any of those things.
And you know, going to Ryan's question about or point about the PTSD part of it. I remember when this is over 20 years ago, I broke my ankle, went into the boards. And I remember, you know, when I came back, you know, after it healed, that, you know, I was a little bit, you know, you think about it, right? It's hard not to think about it, but eventually it fades away. I think it's not, you know, it wasn't overly traumatic, but you think about it. The things I do now, I'm self-regulating. I just, as I get older, I get slower. So I just don't have as much speed. So that's part of it. I also try not to play with people that are, I mean, first of all, I always wear a cage or, a shield and a, you know, face coverage. So to kind of protect myself that way, and just try not to play with guys that are, you know, play recklessly, you know, so that's part of it.
Yeah. I mean, but even if with a cage and a face mask, not going to prevent, it'll prevent maybe a cut or maybe a broken nose. But if you're going to go, like I said, if you're going into the boards, I want you to think about the top of your helmet going into the boards right on, you know, unless your helmet's perfectly round, like the old iTech was, there's usually grooves right there. Those can get stuck. And if they hit the boards direct, you can compress one of your vertebrae. And it's a very dangerous thing. You know, I can speak, you know, I broke my leg in January, as you guys know. And I was coaching. One of my players hit me and had his head down. I even moved out of the way. But that being said, I actually put my equipment on for the first time and played, I think 2 weeks ago. Went out with my son who's home, and we went out and played some drop in. And there's some younger kids. I still like to play with younger kids. It doesn't bother me at all. But I didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't even think about it at all. I just went out and played because that's what I'm conditioned to do. I have more experience, but Rick's also right. Like, you know, you listen to your body, you got to listen to your body from time to time, but, you know, I wasn't worried about it. Did I test it out? Yeah. I got out on the ice. I tested out, did some tight turns, you know, skated around, took some shots, did some edge work because I hadn't had my equipment on in so long. And because I was recovering from this, I just wanted to see how it would feel, and felt pretty good. My son actually came up to me and said, "Dad, you look faster out there." And I told him, "You've been drinking, but you know, it's yeah." But you know, I felt pretty good. But I didn't even think twice about it because I can't. Or else you just can't play. So I understand that there's some hesitation. I understand that maybe you can have a little bit of, you know, some. How do I respond to this? How do I, you know, but, you know, to go back to the question, you know, where he says, do you guys do a session on ways to stay safe, avoiding injury while playing? Well, the answer to that is no, one, but two, just what I said, don't hesitate. Don't sit back. Don't sit back and because it's almost like you're waiting for something to happen. And you just got to play the game. If you can remember those tiny little things, just keep your head up, going into the boards, try to get your head, your hips turned, your blades turned, your shoulders turned to the boards. If you're battling there, get your hands up to push from the boards. I think that can go a long way in just helping you protect. But if you're going to play hesitant and be a little tentative, I mean, again, I still think you open yourself up to injury and it can be just as dangerous.
Yeah. Would you say, Rob, that if you had an event like this or something like that, kind of like you did, where you went out and you played something non-serious and you're able to kind of gauge your own, how you're feeling and things like that, a pickup, a stick and puck, a drop in, whatever you want to call, might be the venue to help you get over some of these fears rather than jumping into what might be considered a competitive game in your men's league or something like that. So maybe testing some things out, start working on building your speed and your confidence back up in those situations before you hop back into a game where you feel like you have to do it.
Well, there's two different scenarios. So, you know, Rick's talking about breaking his ankle. I'm talking about breaking my leg. Or coming back from injury is different than something happened in the game and now I'm afraid to do it again or go to a certain part of the ice.
Yeah.
So from an injury standpoint, absolutely, you get out there and you test it out and do what you can and try to make sure it feels right. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I still have some strength training to do. There's no question, but I'm trying to do that every day. But from an actual playing the game and something happened in the game and I didn't like it and, you know, what do I do? Again, those are things you have to adjust to. And again, keep your head up, heads up, don't duck. Get parallel to the boards. Now, if you're in a situation where you're just battling in the corner with somebody and, you know, you're going to protect the puck and you're not skating into the boards, yeah, I'll put my back out there. I'll go chest first. I'm trying to protect the puck. But we're in a battle. There's not something that's happened where we're coming down the ice speed-wise and I got taken out, I got tripped, I got held or something like that, and I'm going into the boards awkwardly. I want to make sure that again, if I can get turned, get my heads up, get my arms up, try to protect myself, but don't duck. Keep your head up going into the board. Same thing if you're going into the net. I mean, if you can use the goalie to pad yourself, awesome.
That's why they have
that patent, right? Goalies out there, but those posts can be just as dangerous. So again, try to get your hand up. You got to try to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say use your arms. Don't stick out a leg or anything like that, because we've seen what can happen when that happens. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do to, I think what you said, building up confidence, definitely, and comes down to edge work and skating and strength and that type of thing. I think building up confidence is a big one, and being confident on your skates. And it's why we do, you know, in camp, we have a drill where we have, it's puck control, and we'll skate through the cones, and then we'll have somebody chasing them. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we'd have someone chase you so you would feel what that's like. And so part of the reason why we do that, because I do want you to get that feeling someone's on your butt.
Yeah.
I want them to hit you with their stick. So, you know, maybe from a little balance standpoint, you push the stick away or you feel the pressure and you have to adjust your weight to maintain your skating or your balance. That's why we do little things like that. So we do kind of provide that, but it's not necessarily based on, you know, don't be afraid to go into the boards. It's based on, you know, I always say hockey, even at beer league level, there's no such thing as non-contact. There's no checking, but there's no such thing as non-contact. So, you know, there's always going to be contact and you have to be able to adjust to that. And so we do little things like that. We do puck protection and battles, and there's a little bit of pushing and shoving going on there. It's, everybody's done it in camp. It's fun. But again, that's balance. That's keeping your edge control and trying to maintain possession of the puck. And, you know, those are all things that, you know, from a safety standpoint, can help you a long way. And that is a component of what we do. It's not necessarily purpose of why we're doing it, but it can certainly go a long way in helping you in the long run.
You know, one of the things we've been focusing a lot about, you know, kind of going and falling and going into the boards awkwardly. But, you know, one of the things we do talk about in camp is, like, you know, when you're defensively in front of the net, whether you try to block a shot or be in a shot lane, your equipment is designed to protect you from the front. Right. So facing the puck, facing the shooter, even though, you know, maybe your intuition is to kind of turn and, you know, turn sideways away from it, but you want to face it because all your protection's in front. So keeping yourself towards the puck and, you know, trying to get used to doing that, which is not necessarily an easy thing, but, just thinking about your equipment.
That's a great point. And as Rick points out, I think equipment is a huge thing. You know, there's a badge of honor. Sometimes I've worn these since I was peewee. I've had my elbow pad since I was 16 years old. I'm 45, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're opening yourself up to injury if you're not going to upgrade your equipment. I think that most of the companies now make stuff for beer league players. But again, there's a lot of great equipment out there and maybe you don't want to invest in it or whatnot. But again, if you don't keep care of your equipment or you're not wearing the right equipment, again, you open yourself up to injury. So there's a lot of things you can do to protect yourself. I'm not sure, how many guys are doing that. So just so another example is concussions are a big thing, and when I was in college as a player and a coach, we used to have a deal with CCM, and the gentleman who was in charge of developing all their products and testing them, and we tested a lot of the new products before it even came out on the market. He told us a long time ago, if that kid gets a concussion with that helmet, get rid of the helmet, get a new one right away. It hasn't done its job. Get rid of it. It's no good anymore. You gotta move on from it. And as adults, sometimes we don't like to move on from our equipment because it's comfortable, feels great. I don't want to change this. Why are you making me change? So I think from that standpoint, there are things you can do to protect yourself as well. And certainly equipment's one of them.
It tends not to be a sport where you want to skimp on some of those things. And I know a lot of folks in men's league don't wear shoulder pads. And I think that's up to the individual on whether they want to do it or not. But I certainly think some injuries could be prevented with shoulder pads, especially when it's, you're not intending to go into the boards hard or what have you. But when there's nothing there on your shoulders or your upper chest and things like that, I think you're a little more prone to injury. And of course, there's different levels. There's linebacker shoulder pads, and then there's ones that are super skimpy, the Sherwoods and stuff like that.
I haven't worn shoulder pads. I shouldn't say this, but I haven't worn shoulder pads in 30 years.
Yeah. Well,
no different than those of us that just wear visors or no cage or no visor at all on your helmet. That's a personal choice.
I definitely wear visors. But being said, I will say this again, that the equipment manufacturers actually they developed a not a bulky shoulder pad, but something that still protects you, and it's light, and it was actually made for beer league players, adult league players. And you can go find them at any store. You can probably find it online, no problem. So they're out there. There's stuff out there.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've tried to skimp on equipment, and every time I even think about, it'd be nice to not have a cage, every once in a while I get a stick in the cage and I'm like, yeah, I think I'll keep that on. And yeah, I remember a time when I went without shoulder pads, and it was like, it was like drop in hockey. And it was like, I was getting ready to go on a ski trip. I remember that was just like 20 years ago, but I didn't wear shoulder pads that day, and I got hit and, collision, and I cracked a rib. And I remember like on that ski trip, like every, just so much pain all the time. It was like, I wear my shoulder pads. I have thinner shoulder pads, but I wear them. So,
well, I think that, that helps, hopefully helps, answer Ryan's question. If it doesn't, and you're listening, Ryan, please hit us back up. But, I think, all great points made there that you definitely do. I agree with Coach Rob, having had some things that I've had to, come back from, just like anybody else who's played sports. If you go in tentative, oftentimes that actually can make things worse. So you got to build that confidence back up and continue to play the way that you play. And then you also have to consider ways to protect yourself. Try not to put yourself in situations where you might have something like this happen to you, if you can. And then, of course, as we mentioned towards the end, talking about equipment and being sure you've kind of taking care of that as well. So what I want to do is turn it back to the camps and talk a little bit about just, we've had the Vail camp, which happened, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick and Rob, that was just before the 4th of July weekend. Is that correct?
Yep. It was 24th to 27th of June, I believe.
Okay. Yep. So, and for those time stamping this, we're recording this week after 4th of July. So they've had a couple weeks off, but I'm assuming Vail was as advertised.
Yeah. Well, Rob's laughing.
If you're looking at the weather report, it was as advertised.
you know, the whole Western US is in this like catastrophic drought, and it rained all three nights that we were in Vail, and okay. we were trying to do stuff outside each night, like social events, and it just gave us fits, but everybody was cool about it. We had a great time and it was fun. I was a little nuts, but yeah. Yeah.
Good.
That's why Rob was laughing so hard.
Hats off to Sandra though. And I'll give her the shout out. She cooked up this amazing meal for everybody because we couldn't find a restaurant in Vail to handle the group, because we did have a large group, and she cooked up an amazing array of food, and we had it all nice. It was all outside. It was beautiful. What was it? 17% chance of rain?
17% chance of rain. Yeah. And then sure it started, enough, it rained.
Yeah. Sure enough, it rained.
Like, so, and not she, just she like rain. It rained at some point. Like when we were setting it up, it was like, oh, it's getting better. It's getting better. And then I want to say within 5 seconds of me setting the hot food on the table, yeah. it started raining.
Summer thunderstorms or something, or just rain?
No, it rained. It stayed it was not a happy camper.
All right.
But I wasn't a camper. So the campers were happy, but
good. All right. So interesting times in Vail, Colorado. So, and then after that we had Canada Day and we had 4th of July, and now, you guys are prepping up to head out probably a couple days here, Wednesday, I think. So 2 days out to Ann Arbor, Michigan. So the 15th through the 18th. And then to Southern California, July 22nd to the 25th, and St. Louis, Missouri, August 5th through the 8th. So anything you want to talk on those, Rick?
Not too much. I mean, just, you know, getting into the meat of our schedule here, you know, going back to Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor's a great camp. We always enjoy the rinks, really great to us. And then we go on to Southern California. We're at a new rink there. We're at Great Park Ice, which is a brand new facility. The St. Louis rink is also a brand new facility. And that was one we were supposed to go to last year, but didn't because of COVID. So I'm kind of excited about all three of them.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. Excellent. So, okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up the episode. Coach Rob, anything you wanted to add before we sign off here before the next episode?
No, I thought it was a great question. And I thought it was a nice new topic for us. So again, if anybody out there has something they want to discuss or talk about, or even come on, just let us know and we'd love to have you.
Yep. Absolutely. And Rick, any final thoughts?
Nope. Just, keep the questions coming. Thanks, Ryan, for the question. Ryan was with us in Vail this last camp. So anybody else has questions, we'd love to hear them.
Like Rick said, Ryan, thanks so much for the question, for reaching out to us and giving us something to talk about. So that'll wrap this one up. And thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rick, for joining me on this one. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in to the program. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we hope you're looking forward to learning more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. Again, go ahead and email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. And you can also contact us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if that's easier. And if you can, share us with some friends and give us some good 5-star Apple Podcast reviews if you enjoyed it. So until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.